You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin is the latest state to file a lawsuit against the manufacturer of the painkiller OxyContin. We'll talk to Attorney General Josh Call. Right now, it's time for a weekly check-in on news stories from around the state. First, the St. Croix Chippewa tribe in northwestern Wisconsin faces a heavy fine after being accused of improperly spending revenues from its casino operation. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, you've reported that the St. Croix Chippewa tribe has been fined $5.5 million by the National Indian Gaming Commission for these allegations of misuse of gaming revenue. What allegedly is going on with that money?
Well, they did an investigation of their gaming revenues, and they found that at least $1.5 million in gaming revenues were used specifically by a small amount of tribal leaders. And they basically used it to line their own pockets. Some of the allegations that have been made or the violations that have been cited include tribal leaders spending gaming revenues on things like bonuses and travel expenses. One council member used these funds to pay for 8 trips to New Mexico, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. And even there was one case where college tuition was paid. So it looks like things were not being done properly. They were spending this money without sufficient documentation.
And the Indian Gaming Commission apparently says this is a fairly rare occurrence when it comes to Native American casinos.
Yeah, I mean, they say that the way that tribal gaming revenues are regulated, they're regulated very well by tribal, state, and federal agencies. So for this type of instance, they feel that it's pretty rare.
For the tribe itself now, they're out apparently the $1.5 million from misuse and then this $5.5 million fine. Is there a thought about the economic impact that could have?
Yeah, I mean, this type of fine could be very significant to the tribe's bottom line. And the tribe has written to the commission saying that this could be very significant and put them in a precarious financial situation. And the commission's chair, Jonadev Chaudhuri, basically responded, well, you might not be in this situation if you hadn't spent money inappropriately, or that's contributed to the precarious financial situation that they're facing. So they really want to see things addressed in the best way possible. There's a potential for settling this fine and reaching an agreement. So the tribe also has about 30 days to appeal it.
Now, these are fines. Is there talk about potential criminal proceedings here?
It's possible that criminal charges could be filed. I mean, if these accusations prove true and the violations that have been cited really do amount to embezzlement, as it would appear, then some of these tribal council leaders, such as council members and the tribe's chairman, Lewis Taylor, could face charges of embezzlement.
We'll leave it there for now. Danny, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. She talked with us about allegations that Wisconsin's St. Croix Chippewa tribe misused gaming revenue. As of today, the tribe has not responded to a request for comment. Now we head to southeastern Wisconsin, where a student pastor was unexpectedly detained this week by federal immigration authorities and remains in custody in Kenosha. Ricardo Torres is a reporter for the Journal Times in Racine. Ricardo, welcome back.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, student pastor Betty Rendon was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement last Sunday. That was a surprise to a lot of people in her parish. What do we know about the circumstances of her arrest?
From people who have talked to her, they say that Betty Rendon was arrested at her home in Illinois. She lives in the Chicagoland area. And the details of the arrest, according to people who have talked to Betty Rendon, have been kind of surprising. It starts with ICE officers originally targeting her daughter, who is a DACA recipient. And apparently when her daughter was taking her 5-year-old daughter to school, who is an American citizen, that is when ICE stopped her and arrested her, well, put her in handcuffs, and then drove the car back to Betty Rendon's house where her daughter and her granddaughter were staying. And that is when they arrested Betty Rendon, her husband, Carlos, and another individual.
And as you mentioned, she lives in Chicago, but she is a student pastor at this Wisconsin church. What have we heard from that church itself and leadership in that evangelical Lutheran denomination?
Right. So she is a student pastor at Emmaus Lutheran Church in Racine, and she's been there for about 3 months or so, helping out with parish activities, preaching and things like that. This parish in particular has had a bit of a rough patch trying to keep pastors for a while. They were without a full-time pastor, and so Betty was stepping in to help them out as she studied to become a pastor herself, an ordained pastor herself. And then she was supposed to preach on Mother's Day. And on Wednesday during the arrest, she sent a text message to a parish staff member that read, "No voy a iglesia, ahí vino a mi casa," which translates to, "I'm not going to church. Ice came to my house."
And I understand there's a prayer vigil held on Wednesday for Rendon, who is still detained at this point. What did you hear at that event?
At the prayer vigil, we heard a recapping of the events. There was about 150 to 170 individuals there. And earlier that morning, Rendon's daughter had gone into ICE offices. She had an order of supervision, and she thought that she was going to be deported. And so some people talked about what that meeting was like, and it turns out ICE canceled that order, allowing her to stay. So there was a little bit of hope. There was a little bit of optimism, at least for Betty's daughter, who the DACA recipient who won a small victory, but there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of just anger and concern in the crowd because they view this as an attack, not just on the immigrant community, but on the religious community.
Ricardo, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. It was great to be here.
That was Ricardo Torres from the Journal-Times in Racine. Lastly, a shooting in Appleton this week took the life of a city firefighter and wounded three others. It's led to an outpouring of support from around the state and nation. Chris Miller is a rapid response reporter for the Appleton Post-Crescent. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Can you give us, Chris, a brief account of what we know about the tragic circumstances of this shooting on Wednesday?
Right. So information is still being updated here, but what I can tell you now is at about 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, police and paramedics responded downtown here to the area of the transit center and the public library. There they found a 47-year-old man who was arriving on a bus from out of the area. He's believed to be from the Wausau area. The initial report was he was having a medical emergency. When first responders arrived, they helped him, and eventually he walked off the bus toward the library. The situation escalated, and shots ended up being fired. It's still a little unclear how that happened, but we're still waiting on more details from that from police. There were four people injured, including the man that was being treated, who's now been identified as Reuben Houston of Wausau. A police officer, Paul Christensen, I believe, was struck also, but he has been released from the hospital. And a bystander was also hit, and she is recovering from her injuries at a local hospital. At this point, we're just waiting for more information from police to sort of fill in the blanks.
And how is the community reacting and rallying after the death of the Appleton firefighter?
It was pretty incredible yesterday to see the outpouring of support after an incident like this. I think you only have to look at some of the photos that our photographers got and some of the video that we had from the procession through town yesterday and the vigil last night to sort of see the amount of support and the outpouring that the community's had over the last 24 hours or so here. And even on social media, fire departments and police departments from all over the state and elsewhere have been sending messages and notes of support too. So it's pretty incredible to see all the support coming toward the Fox Cities.
We'll leave it there. Chris, thanks for bringing us up to date on that tragic story.
Okay, I appreciate it.
That was Chris Miller, rapid response reporter for the Appleton Post-Crescent, with us to talk about the reaction to a shooting this week that killed city firefighter Mitchell Lundgaard.